Hello, it's me, Anna. You're in for a real treat today because I talk with Susanna Lewis of Whoa Susanna, and for the very first time, I share with her one of the most humiliating stories that has ever happened to me since the fart that almost altered my destiny. Yes, friends, I talk about moving, my marital drawer, and my parents. Those three things should never go together. But unfortunately, on this fateful day, they did. So I share this hilarious story with you. And then after I chat with Susanna Lewis, I talk with Kim Rosas of Put a Cup in It. And she explains to me what a vagina cup is. Well, that's what I call it. They're actually called menstrual cups. And she actually explains how they work. And somehow it ends up being informational and pretty hilarious, so I consider it a win-win. Make sure you subscribe to the Hoo Ha's podcast, and oh, I would love it so much if you would rate and review. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
It's the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. Let's get it on. I mean, only if you want to, no pressure. Sorry, that sounded kind of awkward. This is just a podcast, so, you know, everybody relax.
Hello! Welcome, everybody, to the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. My name is Anna Lind Thomas. I'm the founder of Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's. I am here today with Susanna Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Hey, Susanna.
Hello!
Okay, so
can I just tell you that I walked in the other day and I was waiting for my dogs and I walked in the house and I went, hello, like you do.
You need a little bit more frog in the voice.
Yeah, you do it much better. But
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. Imitation.
You are kind of reminding me, though, you did both of your dogs. You caught them both eating some mushrooms. Did they make it okay? Are they all right?
Yeah, they're okay. They're in a tie-dye phase now, but they're doing all right. Listen to Widespread Panic. But yeah. Other than that, they're okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks for asking.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good. Okay, so well, actually, before I get into the story, I just have to say I was feeling really sorry for you that you had to induce their vomiting, because that is tricky, because sometimes they can just straight up drink it and then not vomit, and then they die from the peroxide.
I know.
I had a friend who owns a pet shop be like, you can do it by yourself, but just be careful because they can actually drink it if you don't do it quick enough or whatever. I was like, what? So then I ended up spending.
What?
Yeah, Bruno found like a binky on a sidewalk, swallowed it, and I had to get him to throw it up, and I had to take it. Then we were just like, whatever, take him to the vet. It was like $200.
Oh my gosh.
Just to get him to puke.
Oh no.
I know. I was like, you know what? I could have like freaking bought a vacuum for that price.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide to what, 97 cents?
Yeah.
And I got two pukes for the price of one. Two dogs.
That's true.
Yeah,
I know. I've read about bulldogs that have had like 16 nukes in their stomach and they were totally fine. So part of me is like, man, I should have just let it be there till he died. All right. I've got to tell you something really horrifying. Now, I have not told Susanna this story yet. Mm-mm. Something really humiliating happened to me, and it's one of those things where you just have to put it out of your mind. Your family has to put it out of their minds. It's just, it's cringeworthy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. So,
okay.
Rob and I, as you know, I've been talking about this to ad nauseum, have moved to a lake house, and might I add again, with crappy internet. And during the move, usually I'm a very organized mover, and I've moved a lot. My dad's a home builder. We used to move all the time. Because of it, I'm not a hoarder at all. Like, I'm like, hey, you want this brand new coffee maker? I don't want to move it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've just learned to let go of things because I'd rather not pack it. Mm-hmm. And I've always been this way with my husband. My husband's like, oh my gosh, I've never moved so much in my entire life. I've moved twice in my life, and then I met you, and I moved like eight times in a year. But I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I'll just say that I love to like have a new adventure. And if something opens up that's bigger and better, I just move. I mean, hey, yeah. Why not? So we have been very blessed to be able to move into this lake house. And usually I'm a very good packer and mover, but this pregnancy has been tough in that I've been bigger than normal. So not normal, like I'm not a freak, but I was bigger than Lucy at this stage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with my placenta's in the back. So the baby's in the front. So I have this just, the belly's really out. It's harder to move, harder to, you know, I have to like catch my breath going into the kitchen to get a glass of water. That's embarrassing, yeah. You know?
Waddling.
Yeah, like when I'm talking to people on the phone and walking at the same time, they think I'm going upstairs. I was like, no, I'm actually sitting on the couch, but fine. So anyway, Rob had to work a lot in the week that we had to move. And I just figured I'll be here and I'll pack. I mean, what else am I going to do? I'll just dedicate these days to packing. We lived in a 3-bedroom condo. It wasn't that big of a deal. We couldn't have accumulated that much stuff. Of course you do. You know, the worst things to pack are like the junk drawers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you have like a 7-year-old chapstick and you're like, what the hell do I do with this? Should I throw it away? You know, I hate that crap.
Keys.
You don't know what the keys go to. We found keys that went to, I have like my first generation iPod.
Yeah.
And I was about to like, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I got to throw it away. And my husband was like, no, I heard that those are actually selling for a lot of money now. They're vintage. It's like, are we going to sell this? Are we really going to sell it? Or is it going to sit in a drawer for the next 7 years? Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Do the plugs still work?
Yeah, girl, it works great. Oh. It's got all my old stuff on it. I don't have to transfer it to anything else. I love it.
Why not just use your phone?
Because I don't have an iPhone.
Well, see, that's your first problem.
No, it's not. I have enough problems without getting involved in the Apple world. Thanks.
You don't need the drama.
No, I'm strictly Android and it's all good. Proceed.
You did switch to a MacBook and that was difficult. I know. It is hard to switch over to something different.
I took it back.
Did you really?
I did.
You just couldn't take it.
I couldn't do it. It was like either take it back or like check myself into a mental institution. I didn't want to tell you this way. I didn't want you to find out.
That does hurt actually a little bit. I would have flown you out to sit with me for 2 days and just let me help you because it's so easy.
I know
that you thought it was hard.
I know. Well, my brother sat down with me for a couple of hours and I just said forget it and I almost started smoking again. My laptop is working fine. There's no issues here.
Okay. Well, all right. All right. Well, all
we'll
right.
talk later.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of packing. On one day, my husband and I do something else during the day that took a lot of time and energy. We got back really late. We needed to pack. And he's like, you know what? Forget it. The movers are coming the next day. He's like, let's just get up at like 5:36 and just pound it out before they get here at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, stupid. You're not going to like pack your whole house in 3 hours. It's just not. I mean, it was so stupid. Now, we had a lot of big stuff already done, but I still had clothes in some closets. I mean, it was a disaster. So
they're
about ready to come. And it occurs to me, the movers are about ready to arrive. And it occurs to me that I haven't done anything with the marital drawer. Now, everyone knows the marital drawer. Okay, and they also know that the bedstands, basically, the tables by the bed, those are a no zone. Okay, those are a place to be honored, respected, and avoided. You don't go.
That's where my first generation iPod is, actually.
You don't go opening someone's bedside drawer. Probably if they're old, if they have older kids, though, because I don't know. I don't know what older parents do once their kids are old enough to go through their crap. But that's where you keep the love supplies, if you will. And it's a private drawer. And you don't go there. And you need to make sure that it's taken care of. So one thing that I've learned is that, and my mom will come and my mom will help, and she'll just start emptying out drawers. So I'm very lucky to have people who can come and to help pack. But if you have things you don't want them to see or go through, you should take care of it yourself. And it's a respect issue. Do you want your mom handling your KY? I would argue you don't, right?
No.
So.
Probably not. No.
Probably not. So I tell Rob, I'm like, well, I got to get rid of the stuff out of those drawers because I don't want the movers to deal with it. Because I, you know, a lot of the times they want you to empty out the drawer because it's already so heavy and they don't want anything to fall out, blah, blah, blah. So I grab a Target bag. I just dump the drawer in it, tie up the Target bag, and then I put it in a random box, seal it, and call it a day. Okay.
Okay.
I don't even think about it anymore. My mom comes by and judges me thoroughly about the little amount of progress we've made. Mm-hmm. And the movers are there, and you can tell, like, the look on the guy's face was like, oh God, they're like not even ready and we have another appointment after this. But he was nice. Long story short, I got the hell out of there. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the baby. I couldn't handle the chaos. Men were sweating. He was telling Rob to take apart the bed. Rob didn't know where his drill was. It was too much for me to take. I couldn't take the heat.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to go to the house with the baby because this is chaotic with my mom. We'll get everything prepared. And then when you guys arrive, I'll help instruct where stuff should go. So I'm waiting at the house. Poor Lucy has not had her nap because her crib is being transferred. Yeah. She needs it. And the movers arrive and Rob shows up with them and they start to unload things and they're kind of directing. My mom's in the entryway kind of helping to direct where certain boxes or pieces of furniture should go. And I asked them, can you guys like pull out the recliner first? Because this pregnant woman needs to sit down, number one. Okay. So I'm sitting in the recliner and I'm rocking Lucy and I'm just basically bossing everyone around. I'm like, put that upstairs. That goes in this room. This goes in that room. Mm-hmm. And Rob and my mom were in the entryway. And the mover comes in. Okay, we're going to call him Jake. I don't want to out him. And
from State Farm?
Let's just say that. He didn't look like Jake from State Farm, though. I'll tell you that. Okay. So, covered in sweat from head to toe. You know when they're so sweaty that they're like sweating all over your furniture?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, so...
Oh,
he has two boxes. He gets it in and then he sets it down and then puts the top box onto the ground. And all of a sudden, there's this extremely loud buzzing, vibrating.
Anna, no. Okay. You're making it up.
No, loud, like it's reverberating through the house, vibrating. Okay. Now, I don't know. It doesn't occur to me what that noise is at first, because it was so loud that I thought something was wrong with the house. Like I thought maybe an air conditioned vent was off, like got unscrewed. I thought something was wrong, right?
Oh.
So I'm rocking Lucy and we're all looking around like, what the hell is that noise? What the hell is that? So Jake steps up and he goes, something is vibrating in this box.
Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Immediately, me and Rob look at each other and a light bulb goes over both of our heads. And we're like, oh, God, no. And the mover sees our reaction and realizes what it is and like leaves. Okay. Like he turns red and leaves. So my mom, meanwhile, is standing there like, what the hell is it? Like she's not piecing together what this noise is. So I look at Rob and you know when like, you can't do anything or you can't yell and your husband's not doing what you want him to do or even a child where you're just like, you better freaking open that box. But there's nothing because you can't do anything. So you're just like gritting your teeth.
Yeah.
So I tell him, I'm like, Rob, get into the box and stop whatever that noise is. Because I'm trying to just spare my mom the humility of falling upon one of her daughter's sexy time.
Oh, mercy.
Accessories, if you will. Mm-hmm. And might I say this in the post, it's not a freak drawer, okay? If I ever see anything, and not that there's anything wrong with a freak drawer, I would say we're pretty normal, okay? I would just say...
No whips.
No whips.
Shaving cream.
Nipple clamps aren't happening.
Tassels.
Yeah, there isn't any non-refrigerated whipped cream anywhere. Edible chocolate, pheromone perfume, nothing like that's getting weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
again, not that there's anything wrong with that. We just have the basics that you just don't want your mom touching.
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So Rob looks at me and he looks like someone opened up the top of his head and was pouring in tomato soup. That, like, that was, look, his face was just turning bright red. And I was like, Rob, open up the box and stop the noise. Because mind you, I'm in a different room rocking the baby. Okay, so I'm kind of far away. And he goes, I'm not doing it. Like, what do you mean I'm not doing it? He's acting like, who's going to do it?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Mom, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
So he goes, I'm not going to do it. I was like, what do you mean you're not going to do it? Like that, like it's not also his drawer, okay? It's your marital drawer in the same freaking thing, okay?
So it's still buzzing all this time.
It's buzzing and vibrating, and it's so loud you can't believe the noise. Like, I have to shout.
Good gracious, what are y'all using? I don't know. What is that, a torpedo?
Put it in the water and just, like, speed off. It just burn your whole vagina off. It was the way it was rattling against the box that was causing, and the entryway is a two-story ceiling, so it was the vibration against the cardboard with the echo of the entryway is what was amplifying the sound.
Okay.
So
if he could find his drill to take apart a bit the bed, he could just use that.
You can make a smoothie, all right? Just be like, yeah. Listen, if you're gonna go for it, just go for it. That's always been right. Just have it.
Just do it.
Go straight to the top. That's a no foreplay piece of machinery that just takes you from 1 to 100, and then you can get back to the dishes. So it's still going off, and my mom still kind of is like not getting it, but I also think a part of her doesn't want to get it too. So now I'm gritting my teeth because Rob is like he's not doing it. And at this point, I can see, like, the mover kind of, like, coming back in with another box, like, checking on us. You can tell he wants nothing to do with it. Like, it's not like, and it's not sexy either, because it's not like I look like, I'm not Pam Anderson sitting there with a sex toy going off. I'm an extremely pregnant mother with her hair in a rat's nest with no makeup on. So it's not like the scene is hot either, okay, for this guy. He wants nothing to do with it. So my Rob continues to tell me, like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Mm-hmm. And I really want to kill him. I want to get up and I want to kill him. But I'm like, you know what? If I get up to kill him, I might as well get up and open the box. And I don't want to do either. So I just sit there and panic. Okay. I have no other recourse. I mean, there's nothing else I can do.
Right. Right.
So finally, my mom goes, honey, I'll just do it. And so before I can even stop, she has ripped the tape off.
Oh, no.
Opened up the box, pulled back towels, and I go, Mom, don't let Rob do it. Mom, I'm serious. Stop. Let Rob do it. And then she grabs it. Okay. So before I can stop her, she has not only gone into the box, she has not only grabbed it, she has grabbed it and then realizes what she's holding. Now, again, this is discreet. It's not like I've got, like, a big black penis.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it black?
No, Rob doesn't need a big black penis.
I could just see your mother, and I don't even know what your mother looks like, but I could just see a, you know, nice little old white lady holding a big black one. That's all I could
see. She's a Sicilian fire rocket. Mm-hmm. And
there you go.
Okay. And no.
She is, or it is.
Both, pun intended. So she's holding it and she immediately realizes what it is, but she shuts it off and then just drops it. And she's like, is that what I think it is? And I'm like, no, it's not. And Rob is just standing there and he's kind of laughing, like that kind of laugh when you just want to go in a hole and die there.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like, like you just want to die. And I'm glaring at him because in my mind, this is all his fault. He should have gotten to that box, shut it off discreetly. We all could have moved on with our lives. Instead, for 5 minutes, it's just vibrating and everyone's trying to figure out what to do. So I'm like, no, mom, it's not. It's not. It's not. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, I think I need, I'm going to go wash my hands. I'm like, it's clean. Okay. It's clean.
Oh, God.
She's like, I'm going to go clean. I'm going to go wash my hands and Clorox my brain. Because I just got a very deeply troubled visual. And I'll be right back.
Mercy.
The thing about me is that I, when I'm embarrassed and when I'm humiliated, which is what that feeling, it was just, it's your private stuff. And your mom is like the last person you want to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
Even though we're all adults. Okay, we're all adults. She obviously knows that we have a sexual relationship as a married couple, pregnant.
Yeah.
But you just, it's just what, and thank God my dad wasn't there. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know.
Mm-mm.
God really intervened on that day and had him come late because, oh gosh. So anyway, I'm embarrassed. I'm hot. I'm sweating through my shirt now. I'm just so embarrassed. But when I get humiliated, I start to get mad and I start to blame other people. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Sure. That's my reflex.
Yeah.
And so I go, hey, mom, you know what? I was like, you think you're having a hard time with that visual? What do you think it was like when I was 17 years old walking in on you and dad? I was like, I was 17. It's not like when you're a kid where you still have innocence.
Yeah.
Where you know that they're doing something, but you don't quite know. When you're 17.
You know.
Yeah. You know everything. And it knocks you out. For about a good week. And I was like, I was 17 years old and I was like, and I'm still not over it. So we're even, okay? We're even. And now I'm mad. Now I'm like, then I'm starting to blame her. I was like, why the hell are you having sex when I'm in the house? You knew I was in the house. So now I'm just turning it on her, right?
Right,
Just to reflect from my horror.
From 15 years ago. Yeah.
I'm like, I was 17 years old. You knew I was in the house. What the hell were you thinking? And then you didn't lock the door. It didn't occur to you to lock the door. I mean, you were that frisky. You weren't like, you know what? Let's wait till Anna goes to work. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sure I had softball practice in an hour. You guys couldn't wait, you know? So then I turned it on her and she's just like, can we all move on? I think we just all need to move on. And so we all moved on.
But that's
the story of my mom finding and turning off and touching my vibrator.
Oh, Marcy. I don't know if I'll be able to move on.
I messaged Susanna and I was like, remind me to tell you a story of movers, my marital drawer, and my mom. She's like, oh my God, I have no idea what's in store.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, I'm sorry. That's all. I'm just so sorry.
You're just so, I know.
That is, it's hilarious. I'm glad you can laugh about it now.
It's painful. It's painful. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Sex and the City episode where Miranda has one, but she's single and her housekeeper finds it or opens it up.
Yeah.
And then replaces it with like a Virgin Mary statue.
Yes. I remember.
Do you remember that episode?
But I have a question. When she dropped it, did she drop it back into the box?
Back into the box.
Like the floor and bounce around.
Oh, God. Thank God, no.
Okay, good.
It went right into the box, right into the towels. I immediately grabbed the bag and hid it in another drawer.
Mm-hmm.
But then it actually gets worse. And I didn't put this in my post that I wrote about this because it was already getting a little bit too long. But it actually gets worse because then my dad is over and he's helping to mount the TV that's above our fireplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he needs certain screws. And so he tells Rob, because I've got stuff in my drawer. Rob got to, it's just, you know, put it in a drawer. We're not, you know, we don't have it in like a lock safe.
Right.
But so he tells my dad, he's like, my dad goes, hey, do you have, can you get some of your screws or these types of screws? Do you have any? And Rob's like, yeah, I think I do. So Rob did the same thing where he just was throwing, at the very end with the movers leaving, Rob was just throwing stuff into like Target sacks, just like emptying out drawers of all kinds.
Yeah.
And he goes, I think I have some in this particular sack. And so Rob gets it out and gives it to my dad. And then my dad goes, after he puts something in, he goes to look for another one. And Rob's like, you know, don't go through that bag. Don't go through that bag. And I look at Rob like, why? There was like, lube.
Who?
Lube. Condoms. And like some spermicide in there, along with a screwdriver. Okay, a screwdriver and nails. Vodka. Nails, fine. Whatever he could find was in there. An old picture of me from high school. It was whatever he could grab. First of all, we better check the date on those condoms. I don't even know the last time we used those.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Oh, it was like, and then, so then I'm like, are you serious? You just dumped it in a bag and it's with screws in it? I was like, why?
This what has the been... hell is going on at your house, Anna? I know.
I was like, this is so bad. And I don't think my dad ever went into the bag. I think he just believed Rob and backed off. But I was like, why did you bring it out into the family room for the whole family to see?
Oh, mercy.
I know.
Or like Caligula's or something.
Okay, so I've got to ask you a question, though, because when I was a kid, I can tell you that when my parents weren't around, I thoroughly went through all of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think most kids do this at some point. Yeah. I even went through my friends' parents' stuff with them. They'd be like, let's go through my mama's drawers.
Oh.
And I actually remember finding some things that we all wish we never found. But
yeah.
When you do have older kids, though, you do have to kind of be careful that they'll just find your stuff, even if it's not... Uh-huh. Even if it's not, you know, necessarily a vibrator, but it could be something you don't want them to see or to have or to whatever.
Elf on the shelf. The real elf. That's not what we call it.
So, but do you have to kind of like what put it in a safe along with your gun?
Yes, I do. Okay. I have a bin, like a Rubbermaid tote that's up on the highest shelf in my closet that has so many things in it they should never know about.
Okay. Well, because then I was wondering if getting it ruined the mood. You're like, hold on, baby. Yes, you like it like a stepping stool, and you're like tearing open a big old Tupper-made.
Yeah, and stuff starts falling off the shelf, and then you get back to the bed, and the other one's asleep. Yeah, that happened. That's true. I've lived it.
It's so hard to keep the passion alive these days.
It is.
You just have to be smart and savvy. Hide stuff.
In high school, a friend of mine had a party while her mother was out of town. She was gone gambling somewhere or something. I don't know. She was a fun lady. But we went through her stuff, and I don't know. I was like seriously worried. I thought maybe we should call the police. Some of the things in her drawer. She had a movie in there, Anna, that was, I'm not talking like Showtime. It was stuff that I was 18.
That you couldn't believe.
I didn't even know existed. It was like a group of us, you know, and all drinking PGA punch, you know. And it was on. And I said, and I felt like, you know, I was going to get in trouble. And so I had to leave the room. But she was like 50 years old or something. Mm-hmm. You know, she did not look like the type to own this kind of cinematography. Whatever.
You know, I remember with a friend of mine.
There was a little person in it. I'm not kidding.
Was your friend like horrified? Were they just like, oh my God. Like if that was my mom, I would like shut it off, kick everybody out of my house.
She didn't know. She was she was back in the back of the house and she came through and it was on like with that burr, 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 burr. You know, that kind of music on in the living room. It was a VHS tape, okay?
Yeah.
It was on in the living room. She's like, oh, my gosh, he brought that. And they're like, this came out of your mom's drawer.
That, That's rough. I remember going with a girlfriend, and actually we went in because she knew where her mom's secret money stash was, and we were just going to like steal a 20. And both of her parents were gone. And it was the same thing where they were just so Ben and June Cleaver. And she was so like an innocent kind of almost ditzy woman, you know, that you just couldn't even believe. And we stumbled upon homemade videos.
Homemade. Oh no.
And initially, like, my friend was like, I just need to see if there's other people in it that are my parents. But she couldn't look at it, so she made me. And I was like, and I'm supposed to come over for dinner on Friday. It was bad.
That's horrible. Oh my gosh.
And then there was like little sexy journal entries and magazine. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Really bad. You have to lock your stuff up because your kids are going through your crap. And if your kids aren't, their friends are. They just will at some point. They will go through your stuff. So you have to hide if you have magazines or videos or whatever. The lesson here is you need to lock your stuff up. And if your mom is helping you move, take the batteries out of your vibrator.
Oh, mercy.
And hide them in some towels. Because then you have to be careful if you have people. Because one of my girlfriends wanted to help me pack. And we have just reconnected after being really childhood friends. And it wasn't because I was worried, of course, about my marital drawer, but I was kind of like, gosh, is it too soon to just have her like going through my drawers? Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, gosh, I don't know if we've reached that level of intimacy yet, because, you know, people are going through your stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, I had a flashback like, oh God, what if Adrian was here? she would have lied. I mean, she's got a great sense of humor, but you know, you're just not ready for your friends to help you turn off your vibrator so your mom doesn't have to. You know,
it's too soon.
It's too soon. And we're just rekindling. We just had lunch after she came back in town. She's a doctor now. It's just it's too soon.
Not ready for that yet. Maybe next year.
Not ready. You know, like, Adrian, can you grab the condoms and hide them for my dad? I mean, it's just we're not there yet. But
yet.
We'll get there soon, I'm sure.
Well, there's a lesson learned the hard way, I guess. The loud way.
Oh, gosh.
The hard and loud way.
The hard and loud way. The hard and loud way. It's just as, you know, Then I wanted to know how my mom knew what it was. Then I want to be like, wait a minute. Because there's still a part of me that thinks that my mom is like, she just doesn't know these things. Obviously, she's a sexual woman. But it's like, how did you even know that was, Mom? Who's teaching you? You know what I mean? Then you can't go there.
Who's teaching you?
Do you have some bad influences in your life telling you what these things are? I mean, you almost want to like rant. Yeah, it was bad. So I had to just. Anyway, thank you for listening and letting me get that off my chest.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Better you than me. Right.
Yeah. And I hope that this is a cautionary tale to all of you. If you ever go through a move, if you have someone dog sit, you better lock up that marital drawer because they're going through your drawers. I'm telling you, people do. You know those nanny cams?
I didn't go through stuff. So I've never thought about, like, I had a friend of mine that asked me a few months ago. She was like, do you go through the drawers at the doctor's office? I was like, no, I don't. I've never been a nosy person.
I, as an adult, would never go through anybody's things. But if I was 16 years old, bored, house sitting for 4 days, I would probably start eventually being like, well, let's see what's in this closet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I know when our house flooded a few years ago and we had to put everything out in storage, and our mattress has a couple of spots on it from, you know, women's monthly, you know, sometimes it comes in the middle of the night. So it looks kind of like a murder scene.
Yeah, well, mine does too. Don't be ashamed.
I think everybody's does, right?
Right, exactly.
I hope. So the guys came in, and one of the guys had BO so bad, my whole house smelled terrible. Yeah. And so he was like, we got to get this bed out of here. And I was like, just leave the sheets on it. Just leave the sheets on it to move the bed. He's like, well, we usually just strip the bed down because you don't want your sheets getting all dirty there. Yeah. I said, no, just leave the sheets. And sure enough, here come the sheets, and they look like an episode of, you know, CSI or something.
Rob has always been embarrassed by our bloodstained mattresses throughout our entire. He's always been embarrassed. He's always, like, wanted to. I remember we got a pretty new Tempur-Pedic, and they're pretty pricey.
Yeah.
But the Tempur-Pedic was actually hurting his back, hurting my back. I had a bad back injury, and it was actually hurting it more. And he refused to sell it because of the stain.
Yeah.
I was like, it's one little stain. I'll Clorox it. He's like, no, this is just a loss. We're just going to consider it a loss. Put it in because he just can't face. He can't face the music.
Well, see, and then I'm gonna let my husband know that it's not just us.
No, every woman has. If you've had a mattress long enough, you're going to eventually have a nighttime accident.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You know. Yeah, so tell him it's happened to all of us.
Yeah.
And it looks very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a Craigslist ad that I found. It was back when Regretsy was such a great website. It was sad that comedian ended up taking it down. But it was a Craigslist ad for a mattress that was like huge blood stain. So they're trying to sell a Tempur-Pedic with this huge blood stain, and they said that she had the baby at home and that was just her afterbirth, but it's been like thoroughly sanitized. And then they try to put a spin on it, how like it's natural and a part of the universe, and like so they tried to make it into like a goddess kind of thing. It was so disgusting. It was. So, could you imagine buying someone's mattress and has like their afterbirth stain on it?
Oh my gosh, no! Oh, they might as well get a match. That's what they.
just burn it. No one's buying your afterbirth, and they're sure as hell not going to buy it for $1,000. Put it in an alleyway, and someone desperate might take it. But that's
absolutely
about the best you're going to get.
No matter how plush it may be.
Yes. Well, anyway, Susanna, I won't take up any more of your time, but there you have it. So
thank
try
you
not,
for that.
Try not to get any visuals. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be
too
distracted.
Late. Too late.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Wo Susanna, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you? But you can find her at Wo Susanna and on her Facebook, Wo Susanna as well. Anything else going on that you want to let the fans know about?
No.
All right, girlfriend. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me. It was fun.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Well, there you go, folks. I'm glad you were able to hear about my humiliation, and I hope you laughed a little bit at my expense, because that's what I'm doing it for. That's why I'm here, for you to just laugh at my expense. We've got Kim coming up, but before then, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, I am here with Kim Rosas from Put a Cup in It, from putacupinit.com. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So I want to talk to you a little bit because for those of you who aren't familiar with Kim, she founded Dirty Diaper Laundry. So she's a very big advocate of cloth diapers. The word totally escaped my brain. So she's
those things
that you put on the baby's butt. Yeah, exactly. And so lately you have been talking a lot about I think you prefer the Diva Cup, but you have been preferring cups to tampons and kind of advocating this new way of handling our menstrual cycle, which I find pretty fascinating. And I know that a lot of women think that we just can't comprehend it, right? So I know a big part of your job is kind of talking us through the stigma, how it actually works. And so I want to talk with you just to get down to how does it work? Why is it better? And should I take the plunge? So
I like that.
And pun intended. So first of all, here's when I think of like using a cup. Now, I'm a heavy flow kind of girl. So I'm like Super Plus tampons, lots of Super Plus tampons throughout a cycle. I mean, my periods suck, which is one benefit of being pregnant, I guess, is that you don't have them, I would say. I'm enjoying.
You should keep this up.
Yeah, I know. I'll just keep getting pregnant as long as my body will let me, just so I don't have to keep up with the periods. So explain to me a little bit how how the cup actually works.
Okay, well, I can definitely do that. It is like a tampon. It is an internal device. However, instead of absorbing the flow, which is what the tampon does, it goes in like a little thing and then comes out a big giant glob of thing. Uh-huh. It actually just catches the flow. And because it seals around all of the vaginal walls, I wouldn't say a suction, although there is some suctioning, and I can get into that, because you never want to pull a cup, just like tug on it, because it might suction and then you could be pulling down your cervix or, I'm already going to scare people, but people have done that and they feel like it's stuck and they just have to break the seal. It's like if you've ever breastfed a baby and the baby's latched onto the nipple, if you ever just tried to pull your baby away, or they pulled themselves away, just got distracted, the nip-lash,
yeah.
You know, you have to put your little finger and break the seal in their mouth before you pull them off of
right.
the nipple.
So. Sure.
For anyone who's been there, done that, it's kind of the same, except internal.
So don't start like yanking like it's a chainsaw cord, or you know what I mean? Just
you
be
know,
gentle.
I use that exact example. Like don't pull it out like you're starting your lawnmower, like ripping it. And some people may do that with their tampons. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Like pulling the string. There's a little stem on these cups that will help you just have a grip. But yeah, it just catches the flow. And of course, the benefit are, you know, there are so many benefits. But I think most people look at it maybe because it's more eco-friendly, which is how I got into it. I was a little, you know, I use cloth diapers, but I use disposable feminine products. So I wanted to get away from that, just as like I can't stand up here and preach about one and then not do the other. I mean, I was very terrified. I thought it was pretty gross. And I thought, just like everyone else, that it would be disgusting and horrible and miserable, but I wanted to try it and say, okay, well, I tried it and it sucked. I was thinking, oh, well, I can say I did. And it turned out to be fabulous. So that was good.
Yeah.
It just catches and then you empty it. You remove it, dump it out, wash it and put it back in.
Okay. So I think, first of all, a lot of women are probably like me, where we don't fully understand what's happening with our vaginas. Like we've been to school, we've seen pictures, but it's still kind of like this cavern where we don't quite know what's happening in there. We're not totally sure. People throw out words like vulva and labia, and we kind of know what they're talking about. But you know, anyway. So I think that this kind of how far up does it go? Like, is it a finger up? Is it towards the bottom? How far up do you put that puppy?
Well, it's all going to depend on your cervix. And that's one of those things that people don't really know where their cervix is. And the cervix does move positions as well. So when you think about the cervix, which is the very bottom of your uterus, and that's what expands to ginormous proportions if you're giving birth, that, you know, has the release where the blood can come out of the uterus and go through the vaginal canal and out, where we either see it in a pad usually, or we don't really see much of it at all because it's absorbed into the tampon. So we don't have to think about it usually. And we don't normally have to think about where it is because it's just there.
Right.
So the cup will sit below the cervix. And if you have a higher cervix, it may be without, you can't reach it, the end of it. So there are different cups for different situations. So if you have a higher cervix, you would want a longer cup. That way you don't have to panic that you can't reach it.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what a longer cervix means.
Or a higher cervix. It's just that your vaginal canal will be longer. So it's positioned higher within that canal. And
theoretically touch our own cervix?
Yes. And if you are brave enough to try, you can reach inside and determine how far up it is, and then before you choose a cup, you can actually say, well, you know, I could touch it with the tip of my finger, inserting it all the way, which would be a fairly average to maybe a little high cervix. You know, if you can only get the first knuckle in, you have an extraordinarily low cervix, and cups might not work for you at the first knuckle, but there are some brands that are very, very short cups.
And first then, you know, knuckle? How would you even have sex?
Your canal does elongate when you're aroused.
Oh.
So, yeah. And, you know, I've also kind of wanted to ask a few people who said theirs was that low, like, well, how much room do you get in that case? But I haven't been brave enough to ask yet. And if you've had a prolapse, like if you have, you know, a prolapse and it's come down, your uterus has come down, then it's going to be probably that low.
Oh,
my gosh. I'm not a doctor, I should say. So, you know, I talk to a lot of different people who use cups and, you know, they've given me their experiences. I have a very average cervix, so, you know, I can reach it, but, you know, just not all the way, but maybe a little bit less than all the way when you put in a pointer finger. And this one woman was like, well, I have really tiny fingers. And I'm like, well, you know, the finger is not just the, you know, you can measure the finger itself and then look up measurements of the cups. You can't just say, oh, it's a short finger or a long finger. Or, you know, I have extraordinarily long, I play piano. I have long piano fingers. And yeah. So.
I don't want to brag, but I think that I probably have a really long, high up cervix.
No,
yeah. There. I mean, I just feel like you could just, you know, talk in there and you'd get an echo back. That's what I feel like.
Well, we'll have to get the Duggar model is more about diameter than it is cervical height, but that's the extra wide version for, you know, for people.
I mean, I still can't even, I remember with my baby, my doctor, I wrote a post called check my cervix once, shame on you, check my cervix twice, shame on me, because my doctor, and she was just like talking about her holiday plans. So she was just real casual talking about her holiday plans, then really went up there. It hurt so bad that I screamed, and it was kind of to the point where my husband was like, my God, like, calm down. But it hurt so bad. And she's like, you know, some people, it hurts. Some people don't even react at all. And I go, I don't know what that means. I don't know where you are in my body. I don't know what happened. You put your fingers where? I mean, it's hard. I wish someone needs to put like a little video camera up there and just show us what's happening, because it's still a mystery to me. But anyway.
Well, there is a website called, I think, A Beautiful Cervix or A Beautiful Cervix Project. And so you can order kits. And I'm pretty open about this stuff, and I'm not quite interested enough to see it. I know where it is and I can touch it, and that's good. That's good for me. But they will take a picture or have a mirror or something where you can actually see the cervix.
And have you ever considered, when you're like doing a conference, when you're like speaking at a conference, getting a camera and just doing a demonstration in front of you, a live
vagina demo?
Yeah, and just let people know what's in there and what's going on. Probably not yet. Maybe in the future.
Not yet. I don't think I have the technology or the budget for something of that scope, and another pun intended there. But we do have a medical model that I was fortunate enough to get, and it was initially used for the Nuva ring, which is the birth control ring that you place inside. And so it has a clear vaginal canal. It has the cervix. It shows the rectum and the bladder. And we have this really amazing video where, you know, we're just talking about the cup and where it sits and how it works. And of course, you know, there are some things that come into play in your anatomy that people just don't really realize. And, you know, some people don't even know you can pee with a cup in, because they just don't understand there are three holes. And, you know, Orange is the New Black fans will love that, because, you know, just realizing people don't know there are three holes is kind of insane.
Fascinating, but
they don't know that, you know, the urethra is a different output hole. The vagina is its own little area. The rectum, of course, is its own thing. And putting a cup inside your vagina is not going to block urine. And as simple and basic as that sounds, having a YouTube channel and having people comment and say, how do I pee? What do you do when you pee? Well, won't it block? You know, and I'm like, what? Oh, my God. I hope you're 8. And then I'm like, why are you on YouTube watching videos about vaginas?
Our education system is failing all of us. Is what I mean. This is, someone call Hillary Clinton and tell her right now. This needs to be put on the campaign speech. Because people,
we have three holes. That's
we have three holes. That needs to be her new slogan. My God, people, women have three holes.
Oh.
Take our education.
Well, that, and
back.
That's why we had to make that video, just to, and people just didn't know. And at least if you are 13 and your family is too or, you know, Orthodox or conservative to tell you about your three holes, and the system has failed you, or you're homeschooled, or your system just sucks at school and they don't tell you. Well, if you find our video on YouTube, you will be enlightened to all of the holes.
I will have to say that when I was dating my husband, he kind of asked, he's like, oh, you don't pee out of that hole? And I go, are you serious? Like, I was so disgusted that he didn't know that. That he was like, what? Of course I know that. I'm just kidding. I've never gotten the truth out of him since. Based off
just
the look.
Just checking to make sure you knew that yeah, that's how it works.
Based off the look on his face, I think he didn't know. And now he's in a medical program. So by God, he does. Thank goodness. But I've never been. I'm like, did you really not know that women have three holes? He's like, what? Of course I did. I was just kidding. I was like, well, that joke sucked because the look on your face was not funny. It looked like confusion and fascination, so whatever. But so add my husband to that camp of confused ladies who don't know they have three holes.
Well, I would imagine there are many more men who don't understand, or, you know, or maybe not, because the videos probably,
yeah, see, it in-depth. Helps,
who knows.
Well, I maybe think
you should be watching more of those videos.
I think the thing that intrigues me about this, because I do know that there are some dangers with regular tampons. I know there's toxic syndrome and a lot of things that we don't really take seriously because they are fairly rare. But, you know, I've had some really kind of scary moments where you don't know whether you've taken out a tampon and you've put another one in. And so then you're kind of like rooting around searching for it, wondering if one is lost up there, which could really have some pretty horrible effects if it did get lost, or if you had to go to the doctor to get it removed. And so I do kind of like the benefit of this, but I would suppose when you're visualizing it, and for me, who's a heavy bleeder, I mean, it's, you just get this visual, like it's going to be a bloodbath, like you're going to look like you went into an emergency surgery and you're the surgeon and it's just like blood dripping off your elbows while you try to put this thing in. So is it, I imagine other women probably think it's just like some bloodbath. So can you help me with like the stigma of how the cleanliness is? I mean, is it pretty just no nonsense? Is it any more or less than an actual tampon, or?
Well, it's definitely a little more hands-on, and I think that's the stigma, just overcoming the fact that you will have physical contact with not only your vulva, because when you're using a tampon, you're putting it in with a literal pole. I mean, you really don't have to go internally at all. The string, you remove it, and there's not a lot of contact with what's going on inside, and that's why people are just, you know, they love tampons for that. And it's, of course, out of sight, out of mind. And that is part of, you know, you mentioned the danger. So many people have forgotten their tampons or forgotten they had one in place to second. And, you know, when you get to that 8-hour max and you forget, well, then you become in danger of getting toxic shock syndrome.
Right.
And I should mention that with menstrual cups, there really haven't been any cases connected directly to a menstrual cup with TSS. So they're medical grade silicone and they're very safe. Having the blood sit inside is not going to put you in danger. There's no chemicals or any scents or perfumes or fragrances, and they're just great for that. I mean, if I ever got the opportunity to sleep for 10 or 12 or 14 hours, I have kids, so that's not a possibility for me. Mm-hmm. But if I were able to and I was on my period and I were using tampons, I would have to get up and change it, or else risk some sort of infection, or God forbid TSS, or just, you know, gross funk, because
the gross funk.
They're not pleasant. You know, the few times that's ever happened where it's been on the later end of the spectrum has been not a good thing. So, but with the menstrual cup removing, you are going to have to reach it. And so you might have to go inside of your vagina a little bit, God forbid. There's a learning curve. So for me, I'm practiced enough that I can use my muscles and push the cup down to where I can just barely have to reach inside. And then I break the seal, pull it straight down. Here I am like enacting it as if it were a video. I'm like pinching my fingers Kegels. And pulling it down.
I'm doing like a really sharp Kegel right now, just really kind of going for it. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and you have to make the noise too, I feel like. And when I do these demos for in-person events, I'm like, you know, you have to, it's physically, it's like when Oprah says something about where you put on mascara and you can't not open your mouth.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that when I do in-person demos. When I say, you use your muscles to bear down the cup, I'm like, you know, you have to make the face and you ball your, you know, clench your fists and I'm like, there's no way not to. And plus, it has to have a visual.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to know I'm really trying. And so I can use my muscles and bring it down to a point where I'm not fishing up, you know, five knuckles deep and to pull it out. It's really not a fishing expedition. And besides, your vaginal canal is really between 3 and 4 inches long. So it's not like it's going to go that far anyway.
So
and you pull it straight down and then just you're over the toilet. So you'll pull it down and then dump it directly into the toilet. If people worry about messes, it's not like you fling it out like, again, pulling the string.
Yeah.
You would just very gently pull it down and then dump directly into the toilet. So you don't have to carry it around or show it off. Or, I mean, I guess you could.
Now, if you, they're not disposable, right? Like, is it something you keep in your?
You keep. Yeah. Okay. You keep these and the manufacturers are all going to say something different. They last for years. I'm still using my cup from, I think, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can clean them. You can boil them to sanitize if you want each time, if you're that kind of person. I actually just use hot water and soap. And if it starts to get stained, and that can happen, you can look up these remedies online for bleaching out the stains. Not with bleach. Not with bleach. Not with bleach. I should say that. I shouldn't use the word bleaching.
Yeah.
but some remedies just to cleanse them. There's these little tablets you can use and things like that. I don't really care if it's stained. It's going inside my vagina, so I'm not really particular.
Right. It's not a fashion statement, really. I mean,
no, they do have glitter ones and colorful ones, so, you know, if you're into that.
What about the stigma, though, of being in a public restroom and coming out with your bloody cup and having to wash it in the sink? Is that an obstacle you've had to face?
Well, it's definitely what people think of, and it scares them away from trying it. But because a menstrual cup can stay in for 10 to 12 hours at a time, assuming you have a fairly average flow, you don't even run into that issue. So you would normally put it in the morning. So you would, if you had worn it overnight, you would dump it, wash it, whatever, put it back in, and you get the entire day. So even if you work 10 or 12 hour shifts, you can really wait until you get home to take it out. So this is really a great option for very active people, or, you know, doctors, nurses, teachers, doulas, midwives, you know, construction workers, whoever has a period who just can't get to the bathroom when they need to. It's a godsend. Okay. I mean, it is a life changer. And I do a lot of conferences and expos where I'm on the floor 8-9 hours and just run to the bathroom and run back out. There's so much to do. And I don't have to pack tampons with me. I don't have to pack anything. And I don't have to do it in public. But let's say you do and you have to change it more frequently because you are a heavy bleeder like yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get longer than a tampon. So maybe if you get 2 to 3 hours with the tampon, you'll probably get more like 4, 5, 6 hours with a cup. If that happens to hit while you're in public, you can actually just take it out, dump it, wipe it with some toilet paper, and then put it back in and wash it when you get home.
I see.
So you don't have to leave the stall.
I see. I see. Well, I was actually going to ask that, because with me being a heavy bleeder, I always have to wear like a backup pad. And so it would probably be the same then. I'd probably need maybe just a backup pad or something if I was going to be out and busy or active. It's not necessarily more better than, say, like a Super Plus tampon. It's just as efficient, you would say, or what do you think?
As long as it's working correctly, it shouldn't really need a backup unless you're just bleeding so fast that it does overflow the cup. Mm-hmm. But if the seal is correct, there shouldn't be any leaks. Perhaps a wiping leak, something, you know, where the blood had come past the cup and then is slowly coming out and you wipe and you get a little blood. Those are just little wiping leaks. But most people, when they first start, will use pads or backup liners just because you don't know what to expect. And, you know, most people don't come out and say, I nailed it the first time they put in a cup, and they walk out without anything in their underwear and expect to have totally clean underwear when they get home. It is a learning curve again, like how you put it in, how you position it, how high it needs to be. But yeah, even on my heaviest days, I can still go without and not have any leaks. But, you know, again, heavy bleeders might want to wear that protection, that backup.
Yeah, so basically it works great, but, you know, don't throw away your period panties just yet, because you're going to need the backup.
Period panties work great with cups as the backup, so, yeah.
Okay, so, well, gosh, this sounds really interesting. Now, I have to say, I honestly thought that you were more into this for the health benefits, you know, because I know that we aren't totally sure what are in tampons, and of course that's going into our body and it's absorbing, but you're actually seem to be more interested in the green effect of it. Now, do you have any facts to share? Because I honestly, I mean, is there like sewers with just piles and piles of all of our gross tampons that don't degrade? I mean, is this actually like a problem with our planet right now?
It is a lot of ways. I'll have to look up something more concrete to tell you. But most people don't know you should not flush your tampons.
I know. Like, you're not supposed to, but, like, who wants to live in that life where it just sits there rotting in your trash? You know what I mean?
Which is another benefit of the cup, which I love the cup if I'm going to someone's house and I'm on my period, because I don't like leaving period garbage behind. And usually you're in that powder room and their guest bathroom. And these people are not changing their trash cans because they don't use those trash cans. So you could dump some garbage that you wrapped in 50 layers of toilet paper, because, you know, we all do that. Menstrual garbage. And they can have it sit there and rot and just fester for weeks until they finally say, what's that smell?
They're like, God, Kim, and your damn tampons.
She was here and she has a vagina and I know it was her and it's all her fault. So, yeah, you know, we will use, an average of about 4.5 tampons a day, 22 per cycle. And, of course, I was not very helpful. I created a graphic here. And I have a visual, which is so great for podcasting. I have a visual of how many you use in a year. But it's many. Let me do some math here. Okay, so we'll use about 200 to 300 tampons a year. And that will add up quickly because we do bleed for many, many years until we hit menopause or get it removed or you know, have a million pregnancies back to back. So there's a lot of waste involved for sure.
Right, right. Well, okay, this has been very enlightening. And I have to tell you, when I first heard of the Diva Cup, or not just the Diva Cup. What is the proper? Because Diva Cup is an actual brand, and it's a brand that I know that you like. But is it like a menstrual cup? Is that like the technical term?
Yeah, they are called menstrual cups. Some people call them period cups. We have fun little pouches that we make because we like to be hysterical. And period bucket is one of our pouches that we say. And pussy plug, which is my husband's favorite term for it. Clot goblet. I've heard people call them Transylvania teacups.
Lots of fun names.
Lots of fun names. Menstrual cup is pretty much the term most people use. Diva Cup is a brand, and they've been around so long, they're sort of the Kleenex of the cup world, but there's a lot of really great brands out there.
Okay, wonderful. And right now, they're mostly sold online, or can you buy them in a store?
You can buy them in stores. Some Targets have them now, which is fabulous. I think we're going to get some more soon. Walgreens, Whole Foods, pretty much any of the crunchy natural grocers will probably have them. CVS, I think, might have them some places. But most people end up going to Amazon or one of those, any online retailer to get them, because not everybody necessarily wants to walk up to the pharmacist and hand them a menstrual cup.
So, right.
You know, I don't necessarily see a problem with it, but I think I can understand why people would want to have it delivered to their doorstep.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I totally get it. Well, so if I have to tell you, after I have my baby and when my period returns, which let's hope it takes a year from breastfeeding, and that's not always the case, but I'm just got my fingers crossed. I think I'm going to try it. I'm officially intrigued, and I like the idea of it. I like that it's cost efficient, and it does seem to be, even though it appears to be more gross, I think it ends up being less gross. So win all around. And maybe gross shouldn't be the word when we're talking about our cycles. I know we need to be using more like feminine friendly, but we are dealing with our crotch and blood. I mean, it's hard to get over.
I'm with you, because I'm not into this. There are so many people in the menstrual circles who are like, yes, you know, divine goddesshood. We have this beautiful gift of our flows and we should embrace it and paint with it and roll in it and, you know, make pills out of it or whatever. And that's fine, because that's how some people live their lives. But for me, I just want to be done with it. And I don't necessarily want to interact with the blood all the time. But
right. You don't want to roll in it. You don't want to like paint with it.
No. No, this past cycle, I have to say that I got a little more familiar with it because we're doing an upcoming video on heavy flows, how to deal with heavy flows. Mm-hmm. So you'll want to watch that. But we have a friend who bleeds a lot, and we were kind of curious because Amanda and I, you know, because we both do Put a Cup in It, we both do the videos, we took our cups out and, you know, looked at the line where it was and then poured the blood out, washed the cup, and then replaced it with water and then poured that into the thing. I actually said we should just keep the blood, but they were like, hell no. Okay, I got it. Plus, we would have to fly with them when we do the video. And I just really, I have enough problems going through TSA with my uterus and my tube with my cup in it that I use for demos. Yeah. My name is Virginia. And my other demo is Virginia, too. So they have names.
Yeah.
And so I'm always worried. I'm always paranoid. Like, oh, my God, they're going to see this. And it looks like a pipe bomb or something because I have a cup and this weird GAC stuff that I put inside of it to demonstrate how it seals. And
ma'am, what are these stuff. What are these fluids? It's menstrual blood, sir. And I'm a woman.
I'm
and
I have an upcoming ritual.
And I need it. And I am a goddess. And my flow affects the moon and the universe. And you should be thankful I'm even here. Now let me through.
I did not want to have that conversation. So we're using wing greens and water for our visuals. But we did end up saving it all. And poor Jen, she had like a wing green and a half, a small one. I think it's several ounces worth. And I'm less than an ounce for my entire cycle, and as was Amanda. So we're fabulously average or even below. So it's just... Your comfort level may be high, maybe low, but in general, it's really easy to get used to. And I would always say it's worth it.
Yeah.
And actually, it helps just get you more familiar with your bodies. There's some article that everyone loves to share that menstrual cup users are better at sex because, you know, we're so comfortable with our bodies and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
Well, based off the way you're like bearing down with your cup, vagina, popping cups out of your vag, you probably are pretty good at this point.
Popping tags.
All right. Well, if any of you are interested to learn more, you can go to Kim and Amanda's website, putacupinit.com. And Kim, where can my fans seek you out? Where can they see you? I hear you and Amanda are doing a tour. Where can they find you?
We will be in Troy, Ohio on Friday, June 18th, I believe. 17th? Oh, gosh, I should probably know that. 17th or 18th. That's a Friday. And we'll be at Bloomington, Indiana on the 18th, I think, June 18th. And then also at the Diaper Fairy Cottage in Louisville, Kentucky, also the 18th. So we have some tour dates on our Facebook page. And then I'll also be doing these demos at MommyCon Austin and the rest of the MommyCon events. But it'll just be me, not Amanda, which is kind of a bummer. But we'll be doing some more tours soon. So if you subscribe on Facebook to our Facebook events, we're going to add more cities and bring these fun sessions out to the public and get people very comfortable after we make them very uncomfortable. We try to get them comfortable with the idea of menstrual cups in person, which is super fun. I like watching people's faces. Cool.
Well, it sounds like, and you guys are so full of personality that I'm sure it's just a good time. So that's great. All right, Kim. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And you guys go seek out these girls, learn more about the cup and give it a try. And then let me know if you like it, because it's going to be a while before I have to use one. Try not to brag. But so when I'm ready, I want to know what you guys think about it. So let me know, and then I'll let Kim know. All right, Kim, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me. Hope okay. I didn't gross anyone out.
No, they're used to my crap. Plus, based off of today's episode and the story I shared, this is nothing. So, okay.
That's a good thing. Well, enjoy.
All right.
Enjoy what? Have a great meal. You too, waitress person who's not eating. Have a great flight. You too, person who's not flying. This is enjoy your non-periodness.
Enjoy not having a period. Thank you. Okay, Kim. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.